And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is communicating. All of my guests are talking about communicating a message in one form or another. My first guest let her life's accomplishments communicate for her. Known best as Jennifer Hart in the 1980s TV series Heart to Heart, Stephanie Powers and I talked about her memoir, One from the Heart. My next guest is the former vice president of marketing for two publicly traded technology companies. He's an unabashed technologist who knows how to use the internet to instantly engage a market, connect with customers, and create products that grow a business immediately. We'll discuss his latest book, Real-Time Marketing and PR. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. David Meerman Scott is a marketing strategist, an entrepreneur, a keynote speaker, a seminar leader, and a best-selling author. He's the author of six books. The New Rules of Marketing and PR has become a modern business classic, and it's published in 22 languages. And his other hit book, The Worldwide Rave, is out there as well. His latest book is titled Real-Time Marketing, How to Instantly Engage Your Market, Connect with Customers, and Create Products That Grow Your Business Now, promises to become another business classic. David describes himself as a recovering vice president of marketing for two publicly traded companies. He was also the Asia marketing director for Knight Ridder, at the time one of the world's largest newspapers and electronic information companies. He lived and worked in New York, Tokyo, Boston, and Hong Kong, and he's presented at industry conferences and events all over 20 countries on four continents. Check out his blog, www.webincnow.com. David is a graduate of Kenyon College and joins us from the Boston area. Welcome to the show, David. How are you today?
I'm great, Billy. Thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm doing terrific, and thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I wish I was with you in person. It's cold here in Boston.
The next time you're out here in Ventura, stop by the studio. You're always welcome here. So the latest book, your latest book, Real-Time Marketing PR, the premise there is that speed and agility are decisive competitive advantages. In many ways, that's not news. That's always been the case. So what makes speed and agility more important in the real-time marketing age than it was in the past?
Well, the thing is that now we have the tools to actually do real-time marketing instantly, anybody, because there's tools like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and blogs and all kinds of ways that we can instantly insert ourselves into stories. For example, there was the Chilean miners when they were coming out of their hole after being down in the ground for 35 days or whatever it was.
Sure.
Did you notice they had Oakley sunglasses on when they came out?
No, I wasn't sharp enough to pick that up.
over a billion people saw them come out of the hole with these Oakley sunglasses on.
Wow.
And it's estimated that Oakley got $41 million worth of exposure as a result of giving away just 33 pairs of sunglasses. But the point was, it was exactly the right time that they gave those away. So the idea that if you're instantly involved in something, you can be incredibly successful. And the counterpoint to that is, if you're not engaged when the market's talking about you, it can be a real problem.
All right. Well, that was going to be my next question. I'm glad you led right into it, because so few companies really embrace this new competitive advantage that you're talking about. So what's working against most companies to be faster and more agile? What stops them from being that way?
In most companies, it's because the traditional way of doing business has been to be very careful. It's been to focus on data that they collected over the last months and years, and then plan marketing and business strategies out over the next months and quarters. It's sort of an MBA business school style approach. Now, there's nothing wrong with long-term planning, but the problem is that if you're so focused on what you're going to do next week, next month, next year, you lose the opportunity to take advantage of something that's happening right now.
All right, but that is a double-edged sword, though, isn't it, David? Because if you do live in the moment and take care of some of these real-time marketing advantages, you might lose your vision of what the long-range goal is, or certainly it will change over time.
Yes, absolutely. No question about that. I'm not suggesting it's an either-or proposition, but what so few companies do is the proper balance. It's almost always skewed towards doing things that are planning long, long, long term out. And very, very rarely are companies having the right mix of operating in the here and now versus operating in the future. I mean, just think about the companies you do business with. I mean, you call the 800 number, they stick you on hold, you send them an email or respond. respond to them in some way. I mean, you're lucky to even get a response, let alone a timely response.
Well, I love it. You've got a chart in the book that where you reached out to a number of these companies and gave the response times, and that was very, very revealing. I'm not going to read what some of the best or the worst companies are from that. I'm just going to say people need to go out and pick up real-time marketing and PR to see that list inside. But I think, David, in reading your book, the story that best exemplifies everything that you're trying to tell me is the story about Dave Carroll and his little song that he created, United Breaks Guitar. So tell the story about that, and really tell the story how it was a valuable marketing tool for not only Dave Carroll, but also for United Airlines, Bob Taylor and Taylor Guitars, and Carlton Guitar Cases, too.
Absolutely. I love this story as well. So Dave Carroll is a singer-songwriter for a band called the Sons of Maxwell, out of Halifax, Nova Scotia, and he's traveling to a gig in Nebraska, and he's on United Airlines going through Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and they broke his guitar. The baggage handlers at Chicago O'Hare broke his guitar. He actually saw it happen as he was looking out the window.
Oh.
And so he spent an entire year trying to get compensation for the obvious mistake that United Airlines made. And after fighting the battle for a whole year on email and telephone, and we spoke with customer services people in India and the U.S. and whatever, they finally said, no, we're not going to give you compensation. So he wrote, and he told them, I'm going to write three songs about you and put them on YouTube. And United still didn't do anything. So he did that. The first song, called United Breaks Guitars, on YouTube, just do a search for United Breaks Guitars, has been seen roughly 9 million times so far. And it took off when he first put it out. It grew like crazy. And smart organizations that saw that this was going on participated to their advantage. Dave's guitar that got broken was a Taylor guitar. It wasn't any old guitar. It was a Taylor guitar. And then he sang about the fact that it was a Taylor guitar. So the day that it broke, Bob Taylor, who's the CEO of Taylor Guitar, brought his team together into a room. They said, what are we going to do about this? And they ended up creating their own YouTube video, which is basically a fantastic informational YouTube video about the best way to travel with guitars. And that has had nearly 500,000 YouTube views and really got them noticed among professional musicians who now all of a sudden the whole planet's talking about broken guitars on airlines and they're telling you how to travel safe. And then Carlton Cases, they manufacture high-end guitar cases, they jumped in as well with a Dave Carroll Signature Edition guitar case. So what struck me about those examples is that so few companies are prepared literally within hours or at the max days to take advantage of something like that. You know, they have to have endless meetings, calling the agencies, calling the experts, check with the lawyers, you know, all of that stuff, which takes a lot of time. And in these cases, bang, they're out the door right away, and they get tons of exposure as a result of it.
All right. We're talking to David Meerman Scott, everybody, author of the book Real-Time Marketing and PR. And, David, in that last story that you just told, one company is conspicuously absent, and that is United Airlines itself. So tell me, what was United's response
indeed,
to all this?
Indeed. United's response was they did absolutely nothing. They completely ignored that the whole planet was talking about United Airlines breaking guitars. This was on and hundreds of mainstream media outlets, television, radio, magazine, newspapers, tons and tons of blogs. Everyone's talking about it. United chose to say absolutely nothing. I actually reached out to them myself when I was in the process of writing the book because I wanted to get their reaction to, you know, why didn't they say anything when this was going down? And they refused to talk to me as well, so they completely went dark. I don't know what happened over there, but I think the lawyers got involved. So often what I hear from people working big companies is the lawyers tell them no. The marketing people might want to do something, but the lawyers say no. And the reason is because they're fearful, because they think that doing something means that they have to admit guilt and give Dave Carroll, in this case, compensation, which opens them to risk from others. But you know what? They could have done their own video. They could have done a humorous video of what it's like to manage hundreds of thousands of suitcases over the course of a day at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. They could have had it narrated by one of the baggage handlers. They could have done a video where they duct taped a video camera onto a suitcase and showed what it was like for that suitcase to go through the whole system. You know, sped it up, made it a 1-minute funny video. And then, when the whole world is talking about United Breaks Guitars, all of a sudden United Airlines is a human organization with real people who do real work and just simply made a mistake rather than a big, nameless, faceless company that doesn't care.
Ah, well, David, also United is out of the discussion right now, but I think equally important and very informative for my listeners is to talk about that transition, and you alluded to it, how in the case of Dave Carroll, he parlayed his little internet film into mainstream media. I mean, he was on CNN and some other big places as well.
Absolutely.
So how did
Absolutely.
He parlay that to get himself the exposure?
Well, the first thing that happened when he released his song is that some bloggers found it. And then the bloggers were the first people to spread it. I, for example, blogged about it on the second day it was out. And many times the mainstream media is watching what bloggers are doing. So then as magazines, radio, television, newspapers started to talk about it, then it kind of fed on itself. And CNN picked it up, New York Times picked it up, all these outlets, a lot of them in UK as well picking up. In fact, then, because he's getting famous for this, a whole bunch of interesting things happen. The song actually becomes the top country western song on iTunes in the UK as a result of it. And now, this is a couple months later now, he's now have embarked on a career both as a public speaker talking about customer support, and he's also writing songs for other people as well. So Dave jokes that United has broken his career.
And that's very funny. But now, David, when I listen to this story, I'm going to take the other side just for a moment here, because there are a lot of companies, and particularly the small and mid-sized companies that are listening to the sound of our voice, that are very, very concerned about it. They may not have the legal departments that a United Airlines had that you alluded to earlier, but they're afraid that if they get out there and they start communicating with the public, that they're afraid that what people might say about them if they open themselves up on the internet. Because after all, the internet to most people is still the wild, wild west. It's a scary free for all. So what's the fallacy in that fear?
Well, in the vast, vast, vast majority of cases, people are not going to say bad things about you unless, of course, you do bad things to them. So, you know, if you're a really bad company, sure, I wouldn't do anything on the web either if I were a bad company. But 99.9% of us are doing the right thing. We're good companies. You know, we've got a good business. We've got happy customers. And in that case, get out there. You know, get active on Facebook. Do some YouTube videos yourself. You know, maybe get involved in Twitter. And it doesn't mean you have to do all of those things, but it is absolutely true that today we're going through a communications revolution such that people are going to the web to solve problems. They're going to the web to ask their network of friends and followers for advice. You know, if you want to buy a new car, you go to Google and you enter a few phrases. Or if you want to buy a new car, you go onto Facebook and you ask your friends, hey, anyone got any suggestions? I'm looking for a moderately priced SUV or whatever you're looking for. And if you're not engaged in those communities, it's as literally as if you don't exist. And in the case of United Airlines, they literally didn't exist in that discussion. And when you don't exist, then people aren't able to do business with you on the web, and you're just going to simply lose potential business as a result of that.
All right, so the syllogism, the lesson to take out of this is bad companies don't participate on the web. If you don't participate on the web, therefore you are a bad company.
Well, therefore you don't exist.
Okay, fair
you
enough.
No, you literally don't exist. I like to say that on the web you are what you publish. So if you're publishing great stuff, you're great on the web. If you're publishing nothing, you're nothing on the web.
All right, that's fair. We're talking to David Meerman Scott, everybody, author of the book Real-Time Marketing and PR. And embedded in that answer, there was so much good information there, David. But one of the things that you mentioned, you go out, if you're buying a new car, you'll go out to your friends on Facebook or you'll go on to the Google and you'll check Google for it. But that's just a form of really crowdsourcing. So talk to me a little bit about crowdsourcing on the internet, and particularly since you're an author, how it might relate to coming up with titles to books or catchphrases or things like that.
Yeah, great. I love the concept of crowdsourcing, which is when you put a business problem or actually any kind of problem out to the crowd. So, for example, I have a friend of mine who went out to his network and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about a new book title. I've already got the title, and I'm thinking about what the subtitle should be. What do you guys think of these various subtitles?" And they gave him responses right away. I actually just did a crowdsourced video myself.
Really?
I spoke a couple of weeks ago at the Marketing Sherpa Email Summit in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And I had there are 800 people in the room. And a dozen people happened to have handheld video cameras with them, like flip video cameras or even an iPhone with video component.
Mm-hmm.
And also there were about 100 people who were tweeting my speech live. So I captured the entire thing from all of those different dozen angles, as well as everybody who tweeted, over 100 people, it was roughly 1,000 tweets altogether, packaged them all up into a video, which didn't even have any professional camera angles in it. It was just it was all completely crowdsourced. The Beastie Boys and Radiohead are two rock bands who've done something similar, so I kind of leveraged their idea. But crowdsourcing is when you use other people on the web, typically, to help you do something. Name a product, for example. Design a menu for your restaurant. Create a new hairstyle for your hair salon. Come up with a title for your book. Contribute photographs of your products in action. All of these are forms of crowdsourcing.
All right. We're talking to David Meerman Scott, everybody, author of the book Real Time Marketing and PR. And David, before I let you go, I want to ask you one final question. What did you get out of writing this book?
You know what? I love the concept of real time. My first job was on a bond trading desk, and it was completely real time. And I love the idea of taking something that works in one industry, in this case bond trading, applying it to something else, in this case marketing. It's just so fascinating to me to see a pattern like that and be able to tell the world about it.
Well, David, you are a wealth of knowledge. If people like the sound of your voice, what they hear, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Let's see. The best place is probably to go to my site, which is my full name, which is David Meerman, M-E-E-R-M-A-N, Scott.com, or just Google the phrase David Meerman Scott. You'll find me.
DavidMeermanScott.com. David, it's always enlightening to talk to you. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate it, Billy. Hope to.
Take care now.
See ya.